Psychology can be involved at many different levels. It can be involved at the beginning of the crisis with refugees going through maybe transition countries into preparing refugees towards more resettlement countries and how to help through the process of preparation, of arriving to the country, and then the resettlement.
Yeah, you know, there's a myth out there. It was actually promulgated by a famous psychologist named Abraham Maslow. And the idea was that you meet physical needs first and belongingness and psychological needs come later. I work in emergency situations worldwide and have for several decades now. And my experience is quite the opposite. So for example, for a young child, that child may not be able to feed, clothe, you know, or get medical care, take care of himself because his mother is completely overwhelmed. And I think that we have the first global consensus guidelines, and basically they call for multi-level supports. It's not all therapy. It's about being able to locate family members you're separated from. It's about generating school supports, psychological first aid, so that, for example, you don't have a situation where in a refugee context, maybe a camp setting, there are women who go to the latrines and they're poorly lit, not locked, and no separate latrines for women, and then gender-based violence is rampant. That is a huge setback for mental health and well-being. I wouldn't say that psychology occupies a privileged place, but I'd say that it is an essential ingredient of a comprehensive approach.
And what challenges are there in implementing the use of psychology in these post-conflict situations?
The first one is the lack of resources. We don't have enough psychologists or mental health professionals handle these crises. Another one is actually a lot of refugees have never had contact with mental health professionals, and there's a lot of stigma associated with it. So being able to understand the role and having psychologists part of a medical team, it would be very important. Of course, resources, funding, accessibility of the refugees to the psychologists. So there are plenty of problems.
Well, sometimes psychologists are seen, because we tend to be human rights workers as well, we get banned from the areas in greatest need. So, for example, in Ukraine, psychologists cannot cross the line to get to the separatist-controlled areas, and they are the most severely affected populations at this point. And the idea is that people who work on psychosocial and mental health issues, child protection issues, we have eyes for human rights violations, and that doesn't make the perpetrators very happy. I'd say also that there's a tendency in emergency settings to set up parallel support. So sometimes well-intended psychologists come in and they'll set up counseling services and so on, but they don't fit with the existing health system. They end up not being sustainable, and lots of times they erode some of the natural supports that are already there.
So what can the UN and the international community do to raise awareness of the benefits of psychology in these settings?
Having psychology as actually part of the services provided, part of the teams, highlighting the role and the importance of mental health in providing, you know, refugee help. Of course, giving resources, allowing more people to actually be trained in these things and have giving access to refugees for that. So I think the UN and other NGOs have a big role to play, actually.
Yeah, I'd say in emergencies, they ought to train all the resident coordinators, all the humanitarian coordinators, to help give them a mental health lens. Many are quite competent individuals, but they may not have that way of looking at things. And I'd say that there needs to be a systematic recognition that right alongside of health, water and sanitation, shelter, all the other major sectors, mental health and psychosocial support is crucial. The evidence is clear. When you don't help people, they go through tremendous preventable suffering, and oftentimes they are unable to work, to be good moms and dads, and to do the work of all good citizens. So it's in the interest of societies, it's in the interest of the UN. I work a lot with former child soldiers, and if you don't address the mental health needs of groups such as this, then what you tend to get is ongoing cycles of violence, because that's what they've been socialized into.